as a jump start. I thank God for the storms that's on our lives. I really do. I don't even want to be around somebody that can't make it through nothing. Because this is called life, y'all. You know, I've been married 20 plus years, amen. And in my marriage, I done went through a whole lot of something. Amen. And if we quit because it was like what it was, I'd have never made it here. You know why I love my wife so much? Because she loved me and forgave me so many times. Now, I've done the same, amen. But the Bible says that God so loved, and that so love is indicative of the depth of your love. Amen. But then when you go through storms, it's not a time to back up. It's a time to go in. Amen. Because right on the other side of that storm is the victory I've been waiting on. And we are made able men and women of God by the things we go through, not the stuff you just learn. Because the learning is only the preparation for the battle. So information without application never turns into a manifestation. Amen. You never get anything out of it. You just walk around swole. Your head big, you're floating and so forth. But when the problem comes, that's the time the Bible calls us householders. We got things of old and things of new. I can reach back into my resources, pull out the word of God, apply it to my problem, and stand still and see the salvation of my God. See, the key to victory is not the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen. So God gives us the victory. So I want to encourage each and every one of us in that. You know, we had embarked on this teaching prior to leaving in terms of, I want to know you more. And it's the names of God. And we were talking about the names of God is indicative of the nature of God. Amen. And when you come to know his nature, you come to know the intimacy of him. It's one thing to say, I know him, but do you know anything about him? You know what I'm saying? I can know my wife, but do I know anything about her? Amen. The more you know about her, the more intimate you are with her. Amen. Or with him, vice versa. So we're going to enter right back into this. Let's stand to our feet. I want you to open up your Bibles. Glory be to God. To Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to start. We already had our first installment is I want to know him, Elohim. But I want to give us a part two of I want to know him, Elohim. You can win if you start again. Oh, come on, somebody. You can win if you start again. See, sometimes in life, you got to start over. See, it's a fool to think life just going to go 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it go 1, 2, 9, 8. Sometimes it don't even start at 1. Amen. You get catapulted into 4, 7, and 3. Depending upon the circumstances of what's going on. But we can start again. Amen. And I thank God for being a God of a second, third, fifth chance. Some situations in my life, I got a 27th chance. Oh, y'all won't hear me. I'll talk to you later. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It didn't go right the first, second, or the 10th time. That's why I love him so much. He didn't stop the opportunity. Philippians chapter 3, and let's begin with verse 8, and we'll read together up until verse 10. And let's begin. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why, Paul? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Father, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless the hearers, but most of all, God, bless the doers in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Now listen, you may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Paul here, I'm going to slow this down because we started off talking about Elohim and we dealt with that. Who is the Lord? You know, he's Elohim. He's God Almighty. He's the creator of all things. Amen. And we recognize that he is all that to us. But see, the more I know about him, the more I become intimate with him. But watch this. I even discovered the more I know about him, the more I become interested in him. See, a lot of people don't want to know God no more because they're not interested in him because they don't know enough about him. So it becomes blasé, even though he's mine, but I don't know nothing about him, so my interest is not stimulated. But the more I dig into him and discover the beauty of the vastness of his glory, I get more interested to know more about him. So Paul said, I want to know him more. But now, Paul, you already know him. You the one around here preaching to everybody. You got it. The church is going. Everywhere you go, you talking about him. But Paul said, because I know him, I want to know him more. See, the more you know about him, the more I want to know about him. Because the more I discover about him, the more I discover about myself. How many of us like ourselves? Now, be honest. If you don't, just say I don't. If you do, raise your hand. Because, see, now I'm not saying there's some things about you you don't like. Because there's some things about me I don't like. And ain't nothing I can do with it. I tell my problems, you got to go anyway. Everywhere I go, you got to go anywhere. There's some stuff I do want to leave behind, but because I can't get rid of it right now, you got to go anyway. I told the flu, you got to go to church anyway, because I'm going this morning. Oh, y'all better hear me. See, I got to make up my mind, how am I going to do this? Because if I let every situation and every circumstance dictate to me how I'm going to live, I won't move. I got to get bigger than my problem. Not that I'm better than my problem because God gives me the grace, but I'm bigger than my problem because my dependency is on God. So whatever problem I got, it can't stop me unless I submit to it. So now I tell my problems, you got to go with me this morning. I got a few other issues I'm not going to tell you about, but they got to go with me this morning. Amen. See, because I can't start stopping now. Because if I stop now, then I'm more conscious of every problem, and now I wind up not going nowhere. Have you ever been in a place that you just don't want to go nowhere because of the stuff that's up on you? It's called heaviness. Discouragement, disappointment. So I don't want to go outside. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to the fellowship. I don't want to go to the church. I don't want to go to my brother's sister house. I just don't want to go nowhere. But why? Because I'm internally overbound by what's on me. But once I make up my mind that you got to go with me, because guess what? I can't stop you right now, no way. And because I'm waiting on God to bring my change, you got to come and go with me until my change come. Because I don't know where God going to meet me to bring my change. It could be over my brother's house. It's called a theophany, a visitation of a living God. It could be in the church house. Some of us came this morning with our problems on us. Come on now. See, you're letting the devil know that Paul said none of these things move me. I'm not going to stop because you're real. But what's realer than you is my faith in God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That's not just giving you candy, cars, and cookies. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all in your situations, in your circumstances, in your body, in your marriage. I just got to continue in the Lord. Oh, come on, stay with me this morning. I feel my help coming. Is it all right? I'm going to preach to myself today. I'm going to go ahead and get happy today. I'm just going to let you sit in on the conversation that me and God are going to have. Because, see, sometimes I got to preach to myself. I know I'm responsible for this. I know I got to do that. But I got to tell my soul. Soul. Come on now. I got to talk to my soul this morning. Every day I get up, my spirit man ain't in charge. Some days my soul and so happen to got it in the control, sitting in the front seat driving the car. So I got to tell my soul, soul, you got to get back up under. Soul, we not going to indulge in this. Soul, we not. See, I got to talk to my soul. See, it's not hard to get my spirit to say amen. Because my spirit was never separated from God. My spirit was with God before my body got connected with my spirit. Come on now. Jesus said, I need a body. So he was already existing in the spirit. So he just got a body so he can function down here. So my spirit don't have a problem with fellowshipping with God. It's my soul. See, I got to get my soul saved every morning. That's why you pray. You don't pray that you're just really trying to talk to God, because some of us don't stay in there long enough. And then when we go in there, we don't really dialogue. It's monologue. We go in there and tell God all our stuff, and then after we get finished, we walk out. God said, well, you think I'm dumb, deaf, I can't talk? What about me? So we don't sit down there and just be quiet and wait on him to talk back. So God said, you got to talk to your soul. Now watch this. Paul said, I want to know him. I like the word of God because it's so rich and so alive. See, it's more than, I love how he defined the giving. Giving is more than just giving. The benefits of giving is bigger than you gave your money. It's investing in the kingdom, but it's obedience to the king. Because just by obeying the king, you are already in the will for the grace to be on your life. Just through obeying the king. See, the king said it's an insult to you, for you to come to him begging for money. Don't you know you're a king's kid? Why are you looking for money? I got all the money, See, you should come in worshiping. See, the first entrance to the king is down on the floor. You got to get the subject raised so that you can have the permission. We walk in on God. And then after you walk in, you're not even courteous to say good morning. You start complaining. But don't you know this is what I'm going? And God has to turn around and look to see, is this my throne? Do I still have the crown? Is the subject still working? Just raise it, son. Because see, you done forgot who I am. See, if you recognize who he is, you can come enter into his courts with, you're talking to the King of Glory. See, the disrespect is not that you got a problem. You done forgot who you are. Remember, you're going to have problems because you're the answer. Oh, God, I love this here. See, I love there was a word that they said. The king's presence always demand an audience. When you come into when the king comes, I'm going to show you in the text. When Jesus came into the city, the crowd came. Everybody that had a reverence for him and the word that he preached drew to him because they knew opportunity was in the city. Anytime a preacher comes into the house or he has set the meal for service, you ought to be there because opportunity is available. Anytime the word of God is being proclaimed, see, watch this. I'm not preaching, I'm proclaiming. See, he says, when a king decree a thing, it's established. So our job is to declare what the king has decreed. That's why you only say what the Father says. So when you begin to speak the word, it already happened. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. You just got to believe that what you said works. Giving works. Speaking the word works. But you got to believe that it works. You don't have power over the devil, but you got authority over the devil by the power of your words. Outside of you having this word in your mouth, you're no match for the devil. That's why he says, speak the word only. See, Paul was saying, I like to break this down so you can get a real picture. Paul was saying, I come to a place that I recognize for my life that I can do nothing. I don't want to know nothing except him and him crucified. Let me show you the text. But he wasn't talking about the crucifixion. He was talking about him being crucified, meaning every day I got to die to myself. See, if you don't understand the crucifixion and learning how to crucify your flesh, he said, I got to mortify the deeds of my flesh. Because see, and if I don't die, he can't live. The reason why we struggling, because he still live. See, in every area, I got to crown him Lord. So I got to die in the flesh. Not my will, but let. Come on, y'all. I'm going to teach you this morning. Are you hearing anything? See, we got the victory. The devil is a lie. You ain't going to come. Now, it's a sad thing you catch me around the corner and attack me. It's another thing you catch me at my house, because I may have not really been on my job at my house. I don't pray at my house. We don't read the Bible at my house. All we do is watch TV at my house. So you suddenly catch me at my house. But it's a tragedy of injustice if you can come in the church and catch me. Because they should be up in the church worshiping, preaching the word. Somebody should be saying, thus saith the Lord. So I'm safe in the church. That's why they call it a sanctuary. A crook can come up in here and hide out and look out the window and wave at the police. They can't come up in here, check your law, unless I release him. Now, if he got a gun, I'm going to push him out there. You ain't got to worry about all that. But if he's just trying to find refuge, that's why we here, y'all. Oh, don't look at me strange. You ain't committed those kind of crimes, but we still bound. We still chained, and I'm looking for a refuge. I come to get a peace of mind, so I got to come to the sanctuary of the house of God. That's why it's injustice if the word of God is not being preached in the house of God, where the Spirit of God dwells. If I can't get help in the house of God, help me, Lord. Oh, help me. Come on now. Let's go. Go with me this morning. Let's go. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are y'all hearing anything? See, this ain't supposed to be entertainment. This is where you come to learn of him. See, I want to know him more. But watch this. The more I learn about him, the more I can deal with me. Boy, I'm going to help you with something this morning. See, our power, our problems was never intended to be dealt with by man. Man never had dominion over man. In the garden, Jesus said, he said, watch this. I gave you power, dominion, and authority over the fishes, over the sea. I never told you you can act like and have authority over man. But what happened when man forsook God, man started talking about, now I'm in charge. We still got the emblems and stuff in God we trust, but we're not trusting God to rule man. See, the word of God is enough to judge man. Because if a man submits himself to the word, it keeps you. So now what's happening in our lives, we're walking around trying to handle our problems as if we are God. And God said, I never gave you that authority. That's why you're over there messed up and confused. That's why you're struggling. Because you got to submit to the authority. And that's why that Paul said, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that was in Christ Jesus. See, I'm subject to the authority of the word. And when I allow the word to govern me, I'm in the will of God, and the grace of God covers me. Oh, y'all help me. See, it's more than just trying to do right and wrong. There's a grace up under this canopy of that word. Are you in 2 Corinthians? I said I wasn't going to get off the pulpit. I said I was going to stay back there and all that. That's what I said. But that ain't happening. Because I get excited. Because this is the book of life. I couldn't live until I found out how to live in here. And watch this. Rightly divide the word. See, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. See, I need to have a right relationship with God to get a right interpretation of the word of God. See, I'm not ignorant. I can go in here and read it. But without a right relationship with him, I can misinterpret what I read. Because it's called revelation, revealed knowledge. He got to show it to me. And if I'm not right with him, he ain't showing me nothing. y'all love this. I'm going to show you how this text works. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And read verse. Let's look and start at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. I love this. Look here. See, this is so impact. It's so much insight in the scriptures that you got to want to know him more. I know you already know. Remember, we talked a long time ago. I know what you don't know is that you don't know what you don't know. See, the only problem with somebody that know is I can't teach you because you already know. So you got to come in like I don't know. Look at here, look at here, look at here. This is so good to me. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I, brethren, when I come to you, I come not with the excellency of speech of the wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. See, that's, you know, let's break this down a little bit. That's somebody just talking all about, you're talking about God, but you have not experienced God. You just read about him. See, you telling the truth, but you a lie. See, you ain't lived what you saying. You just saying it. Verse 2 says, for I determined, I made up my mind. I'm in a fixed position. I don't care what come or what go, who would separate me from or connect me with. I'm determined to know, to be intimately acquainted, to be familiar, associated with anything among you. I'm not moved by your pedigree. I'm not moved by your credentials. I'm not moved by how much money you got. That don't talk to me. Talk to me about him. Because I got all that. He's my father. He says, well, I'm determined to know anything among you, what? Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when he said that crucified, that's the Greek word steru. He was saying, I'm not talking about that cross that he got up on. I'm watching the pattern, the consistency of his dying to his flesh. Yes. See, you got to get familiar with crucifying yourself, with fasting, with praising, with eating the word. I'm talking about eating it where you can regurgitate it back. Then practicing, living it, applying it in your life. Not just walk around knowing it and you ain't lived none of it. The Bible says that the fruit of your lips give praise. Meaning that what you've been saying has come to pass and people see it. Now they praise your God. Not your testimony. The fruit of your lips, meaning something doesn't happen as a result of what you've been confessing. You keep saying it and saying it, but you never possess it. When are you going to possess the confession? Now, ain't nothing wrong with confessing, but you ain't supposed to be confessing all your life. There's some stuff you should possess. Let God be true and every man a lie. You've been confessing that confession for 10 years. Now, I'm not saying some things that take that long, but make sure that I'm obeying the will of God. I'm not just walking around manipulating the word of God and practicing my own. I'm living on the side how I want to, but I'm saying the right jargon. That's why it ain't came to pass. Now you're frustrated. He said, but I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power. See, there should be a demonstration. Amen. See, after the manifestation, there's going to be a demonstration. See, this is the power of God. We should see the power of God in some areas of our lives. I'm talking about God's power. When it is undeniable that God did this. I waited and trusted God and he pulled it off. And watch this, you got to know when you're trusting him like that. The way you know you're trusting him, don't tell nobody else about it. You done went and told 10, 12 people and somebody came and told you the Lord said, now they felt sorry. Because they had it and they over there wrestling now. Should I do it? Should I not do it? But if you really want to find out the power of God, don't tell nobody but God. And stand still to authenticate your faith and see the power of God. If you keep going around telling everybody, somebody going to pop. You done told 20 of them. And you know you've been selective because all 20 of them can do it. Now you say that's a move of God. I could say that's manipulation. But we won't try to go into the things of God, amen? He said, verse 4, that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak in wisdom among you that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, but that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto his glory. Now, the hidden wisdom is the riches of God. There's some stuff you won't see until you go through your problem. Your problem is designed to bring the manifestation of God in your life. That's what's called sonship. You're growing up into maturity. See, everybody want to run from a problem. You should run into problems. So I can see the glory of God, because I say, deal with me, God. Deal with my marriage. Deal with my finances. Deal with my children. Quit running and hiding. Because you'll never see the manifold wisdom of God. Because some of this stuff, even though you've been studying, you don't even know. Because it has not been made manifested. And you won't see it until you get to the other side. Oh, help us, y'all. See, God has had some things, and they are divinely set aside to develop you. As they sung this morning, we go into another level. But you can't get to another level until you go into another dimension. I got to go deeper to go higher. The way up is down. You watch this. You know when you really get spiritual, it's not because you got a problem. It's when you go as a result of your problem and begin to pray and seek the face of God. The Spirit of God comes up on you. Because I went in, not I went up. You don't go up until you go down. I got to go deeper in him. I got to spend more time with him. And the deeper my problem or my sin, the deeper I got to dig. It ain't on the surface. You ain't getting out that easy. Because it's more to be gained. And God don't want you to walk around in this shape the rest of your life. So God's going to break the stronghold of it by taking you deeper. See, now watch this. We're talking about Elohim, the God of the creation, the God that made all things. Now watch this. I can live again. But see, first of all, I can start again. But before you start again, you must first identify that I done stopped. See, some people thinking they still on and you off. Oh, help me up here. I'm telling you, when I got to digging into this, the Holy Ghost started talking. Now, I'm going to let you into the talk now. To see, help me, Lord. Watch this. This is how he broke it down to me. And I got 4 points I know just going to bless you. Because the Holy Ghost spewed that out. Because, see, you don't investigate the problem. You investigate the question. See, the devil think he got us bamboozled that I got to figure out the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is the question. Because in every question is the answer. The antidote of the snake bite is in the poison. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in here. He said, now in order to start again, you must identify that I stopped. See, some of us don't recognize in some things I done stopped. See, and just because you going on don't mean you own. You're just continuing. Oh, help me, Lord. But see, I first got to identify I done stopped, but I also must acknowledge I need help. See, a lot of us won't say we need help. That's why we continue to struggle. Because, see, they teach you when a fire break out, you stop, drop, and roll. See, some of us are still running in the fire, trying to get through the fire, when really the only way through it is to stop, drop, and roll. See, you got to stop, meaning cease from your own labor and enter into a rest. Finding his place again, because my help is in the Lord. But if I don't ever say I need help, What I do is I continue on like I got it going on. And I done stopped. And it's become evident that you done stopped because the process or the benefit or the resources stopped when you stopped. There's no more grace. There's no more glory. There's no more prayer. There's no more teaching. There's no more prayer. See, I know you done stopped even though you said you ain't stopped. You haven't said you stopped, but I can tell you stopped because you ceased from doing what you used to do. So what I got to do is I got to identify that I stopped, but I also got to acknowledge that I need some help. But then now the third point is I got to start again. Help me, y'all. See, and watch this. He's a God that gives us the opportunity to start again. Just because some areas is going on good don't mean every all cylinders is working. So I got to go back and evaluate which ones done stopped. Because, see, we can be faking it until we make it. I won't say nothing. You won't say nothing. But we both know it done stopped. And now where the danger come, we wait till it break down. And now everybody know. Because after it break down, then pretty soon we're going to break up. All right, stay with me, stay with me. See, we talking about Elohim, the God who blesses us to start again. But see, the strong and mighty God who keeps his promise and he keeps his performance. See, even in the stopping, I'm still under the covenant and the warranty of God that the promise of God still works. I just got to start again. I know ain't nobody in here ever missed it before, ever backslid, ever sinned. But you notice after you did it and you got right, you started again. After a little while, you was back on and flowing as if you never. Well, see, that's what he says got to happen in this season. You got to recognize I done stopped. I got to acknowledge I need some help. And then after that, I got to start again. Start picking the pieces back up. See, some of us get so hurt and so wounded, we can't start again. I'm going to show you in this text when I get there that God showed me something. Let me not get ahead of myself. See, he's the God that keeps his covenant, but he's also the God of restoration. Now, we know him as the God of creation. But can you believe that he's the God of restoration? See, he's the God that can restore. See, now, watch this. It's one thing to create something. Create means you take nothing and come up with something. See, he's the God of all creation. He took nothing and came up with something. But now he was also the maker of all things. See, to make something is I take something and then take something and make something out of it and it becomes something else. So creation is different than making something. Man can make something, but man ain't creating nothing. Oh, come on, y'all. But now watch this. So we got him and understand that he's the creator. We recognize that he is the maker, but now you got to also know him as the restorer. He's the one that can put you back together again. Oh, help me, y'all. I remember one time I was counseling, and I had a couple. They had got married three times. And I'm, you know, now watch your piousness, because in your piousness, you can miss God, because it was God the first time. It wasn't that they had a bad marriage. They both was just immature, and they didn't want to grow up. So they kept running into the same problem, and they made the same solution. I quit. Then they came back, and I'm talking about we had the whole ceremony. I remember Bishop said the third time, look, Doc, I'm not going in there. The third time they got married. We did it all again. Some folks were like, look here, I'm not even giving nothing this time. I done gave two times. You know, let's just believe y'all going to do this. You know what I'm saying? But they did it. But do you know that couple was living stronger now and they still together? It was not that they could not or wasn't supposed to be together. What happened was neither one of them had grew up. And they grew up together. Because, you know, it's one thing to come and find somebody mature. They up, running, got all things going, another thing. It's another thing to hook up with somebody and you go mature. That means me and you've been to grow together. See, that's a whole different ministry now. I can be with you after you done went through somebody else done paid the fare. They done broke you and rolled you and wrestled with you. Now they left you. Here you sitting over there like a model just waiting on me. But it's something when you get them rough, straight off the cut. They don't read, don't they snub all the little imperfections. I used to tell them when I do marital counseling, I say, I know y'all in love and everything, but just like going to the pharmacy and you're getting your medication, you know you need it, you know you're excited because they gave it to you, but did you read the back of the bottle? Because on the back of there, they got this little red box. They got a skull inside of it with an X on it. Say poison and hazardous. See, there's some stores, it's poison and hazardous. Did you read that label? Do you know that he wakes up at 10 o'clock and beats you up? Did you know she don't come home 3 days straight? Oh, talk to me up in here now. Did you know that he, you know what I'm saying? Well, I knew he smoked cigarettes, but I didn't know what all that other stuff was jingling in his pocket. That's crack cocaine, woman. But watch this. But now you done married him. Now we got to grow together. So you got to, yeah. You got to deal with all the baggage that came with that furniture. I know the chair looked good when you brought it, but you didn't understand the stain remover going to wear off. The color going to fade. Once they drop a few of them socks and take off a few of them items, what you working with up in here? Sign, preacher, sign. No, that's your choice. So now we got to grow together. Some of us are growing together. It's not a bad marriage. It's a growing marriage. You're seeing my imperfections and my immaturities. Do you still love me now after you found out I don't count and I do spend money that I don't supposed to? Come on now. I know you like me because I had six pack, but you didn't know how I got that. I spent all your money to get that. See, these are the imperfections that come with us. I know she looked good. You left mom and dad and them and didn't tell nobody you was going to marry him because he made you feel just that good. But how can something make me feel that good feel so bad? Because you didn't ask him all the questions. There's some questions y'all should have told me to ask that joker. Now he's sitting up in the living room just looking at me. Don't he go to sleep? I'm going to help you now, but you still can't get out of it because that's your marriage. Now let's grow up. Not go up. We finna grow up because it's still the package. I thank God for my wife. She loved me past my imperfections because I had a few, you know, every now and then. I slip on you. It's been 20-some years since I shook like that. But I'm telling you, I didn't come in here like this. My hair wasn't combed every week. I didn't like clean clothes. I just wanted clothes. Come on now. I wasn't mature. Oh, y'all better hear me now. See, you go, don't walk out on what you don't understand. It's what you do understand. You better know. Because see, watch this. When you go get the other model, you got to start all over. Yeah, this one here shook like this one, dude. When you get busy, when you get busy with that one, you need some help. So you might well go on and stick with this. I'm trying to give you some human, but give you some medicine. Now, some of them need to be thrown away because they were just bad products. I'm not the one. You need the medical assistant. I can't deal with all that. So, and I'm telling you, when you come counsel with me, I ask you all the questions. I'm not trying to talk you out of nothing, but I want to make you sure you understand what you're getting into. Because, see, there's a whole lot of stuff that go with folk that you didn't even know came with it. Well, you ain't tell me. Who was that? Sitting up in there. Well, I didn't know I could tell you. I had him since I was little. We dealing with people, y'all. And people got problems. You got problems. Look at your neighbor. Say you clean up real good. Look at them. Because they got problems. But they my problem. See, ain't nobody going to tell you the truth. There's some truth that come with this. I know they look good, they smell good, and his hair cut just the way you like it. But so is all that other stuff. And you got to deal with that. Give the Lord a hand of praise. So now watch this. He's not only the God of creation, he's not only the God that makes, but he's also the God of restoration. God can put some stuff back together. Now let's go to Mark chapter 2. I want to drop this here and I may get out of here. If y'all let me out of here, if you'll be kind. Can I get 5 more minutes? I wanted to say that 20 times. Y'all will catch that joke and stay with me long enough, you'll get it. Can I get 5 more minutes? You know what? I waited so long to be a pastor. Now, I knew I was a pastor a long time ago, but I knew I was not developed. Come on, y'all, because this ain't no game up here. You don't get no 20 shots up here. All them little shakes, you got to get rid of them before you get up here, because you can't be up in there shaking, winking, and kicking. You got to be straight when you come up here. Plus, I went under the anointing. See, now it ain't just that I got to keep myself so you don't find me out, but I got under the anointing. I recognize I couldn't even handle the anointing. Would not. See, there's anointing that's borrowed. There's an anointing that abides. Then there's an anointing that remains. See, the anointing wouldn't remain on me when I had my little secret little red label stuff. Oh, y'all better get with me. I'm not the one. I done been up, down, in, and out. Come on, D. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I ain't scared of the devil. I done been locked up, shut up, and put up. All right. So I confront the devil straight up. See, the anointing wouldn't remain on me. And I thank God that he didn't let me get in before my time, because I would have messed up my opportunity. And I lived for this. I ain't got no plan B. I'm a man of God by the grace of God. All my tragedies, my prison, everything was designed to make me who I am. I'm not sacrificing all that. Then I'm getting a little too old to be taking them chairs too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sacrificing all that. So I done made up my mind. I done determined that I'm going to live for Christ or die standing up in here. The world don't have nothing else to offer me. I ain't looking that good. All the sex game ain't running that. Come on, somebody. I need some help. See, you get to a point. Oh, yeah. See, some of y'all still going out there thinking you're trying to find yourself. Now, you already know yourself. You're almost 70 years old. Tell self some of that stuff we can't do no more. See, if you don't talk to people straight up, people got games and gimmicks. And we're caught in the mental state of our mind. And our mind plays tricks on us. And I'm willing to sacrifice everything God gave me trying to live in a delusion that don't even fit me no more. It's who I used to be. I lost that time. So I'm having relapse in my mental state. So I'm trying to recall events that I thought I left behind. 60, 50 years old and got a 28-year-old woman. Come on now, don't tell me. I understand your thrill. But let me give you the reality. I work a little hard. I work. Because some of them now, get you a woman that's just your season. So you can grow together, enjoy the same thing. You ready to sit down and she talking about what's up. See, God ordains people to be together. If you ain't got a God connection, you out there in a fantasy. And now you're chasing a delusion, and it looks bad on you. You can tell when they misplaced because they over in an environment that they don't even fit in. Yeah. What are you doing over there? Are you the teacher? This is your building? How you get in the midst of all these 27, 13, and 17-year-old folk? Well, that's right. What's all that candy in your pocket for? Yeah, you'll get that. Now look at Mark chapter 2. Now watch this. Look at Mark chapter 2. I'm going to work this and I'm going to get out of here. I got five more minutes. Oh, that was the other five. This is my five now. I got 5 more minutes. Because see, this is a help. I was looking in the word of God pertaining to dealing with this mental disorder. that we're dealing with. And I was asking God, talk to me. See, the scriptures will talk to you when you give God time to talk. So he said, son, go to Mark chapter 2. I said, okay, Dad, I'm with you. So I'm going to take you where he took me. And he says, in Mark chapter 2, this is when Jesus came into the city and he healed the man sick of the palsy. But there was some medicine in the medicine. Oh, God, help me. Verse 1 says, and again he entered into Capernaum. Now, he just came off the evangelistic trip. And they all knew that who he was and in the integrity of the power of the word that he preached. So when they heard that he was in the city, the crowd came. See, y'all, anytime you know you're going to church, go get all your problems. Tell them y'all going with me this morning. And some of y'all ain't coming back. Because I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to where the word of God is being preached. See, I don't want to be in no house you telling me your stories and your problems, how many sicknesses you got. Man, I don't want to hear that. Some of that stuff jump up on me. I don't want to hear about the news in the city. I can go read the newspaper, get on the internet. I need you to preach that Bible. Ain't nobody else preaching that Bible but you right now. You the designated place for me to hear about the word of God. Be true to your call. Stay in the book. And he said, and again they entered to Capernaum. And after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. Oh, come on, somebody. He's in the house. It was noised after some days that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered, what? Together. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached what? The word unto them. See, you got to stay. The word is the medicine for our soul. The word is the healing balm. The word is our deliverance. See, watch this. The word of God can go down in the inner depths of your heart and your mind and unloose you from a captivity that can give you a moment of reprieve, that you can make a decision that the power of God can have entrance. But I need the word to do that. See, you can talk to me all day. That's why people at home argue. Because that's soul talking to soul. But you start speaking that word. That word go down and because see, that's a spirit. I'm not even dealing with you no more. I'm talking to the spirit that got you. There's a spirit that got your mind. There's a sickness, a spirit that got your body. There's a spirit. He said, in every knee shall bow, and every name that's named shall confess the name. If it got a name, I can put the word on it. I say, God, talk to me about this. It's a spirit. It ain't them people. A spirit done got into them. He said, and straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Verse 3. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. Stop right there. I'm reading the text. And I saw the word. It says, which was born afore. I'm saying, what you mean? It ain't the problem I'm looking at. I got to investigate the question. It was born afore. What you mean, Dad, it was born of four? You mean it was four of them that was born together? Are you talking about that born? He said, no, son. He said, it was born of four. He said, it was born of four. Mean there was four that carried them in? He said, son, that's what I'm talking about. He said, but now that was four that carried him in. But there are four legs that sickness stand on. It was born of four. Meaning it came into existence by these four. Oh, God, this text talks to me. I say, God, talk to me. Unveil it. Open it up. And I start reading in verse 4. And it says, and when they could not come nay unto him for the press, they what? Uncovered. And when I got to the word uncovered, he said, that's the four. There's some undone stuff that sickness is walking on. He said, if you can uncover that which was undone, not undone, then we can get deliverance. Don't worry about the sickness. Let's deal with the un. So I said, Dad, talk to me. He says, one, there was some unforgiveness. Oh, help me up in here. Help me up in here. Help me up in here, Holy Ghost. I need your help. See, there was some unforgiveness. This was the medicine that was encapsulated in the medicine. See, because the Pharisees and all them that was with them, they thought Jesus was in error because he told the man, your sins have been pardoned. They said his theology is right. He's in error. But see, they was in error because his theology was correct. God can forgive sins, but so can Christ. They didn't have the revelation of Christ. So they said he was wrong because he had not manifested himself as Christ. They only knew him as Jesus because he had not died yet. They were still trying to validate, how can you say you are the Son of God or you're the King of, because he was the Christ. So he said, which one is it easier, for me your sins be forgiven or pick up your bed and walk? He said, I got power to do both of them. Oh, come on, y'all. Talk to me up in here. He said, but the first thing was unforgiving. Unforgiveness. See, the reason why some of us are so bottled in our mind over the things we done seen, things we done done, even things that happened to us, is because of unforgiveness. See, if I can't forgive the person, I still walk around in the crime. And the reason why it still lives, even though it's dead, because it lives in me, because I have not forgiven. But then even the deepest part, he said, the other side is I got to forgive myself for some of the things I've done. That's why I'm still having nightmares and problems about it, because I have not forgiven myself. I need 5 more minutes, y'all. These are your 5. I already spent somebody else's and I didn't use somebody else's. I'm on 5 on the house. The house get 5. But then he says there's unforgiveness, and I'm gonna develop this and work this because this is the Holy Ghost. But then he said there was unrepentance. See, there's some stuff we have not repented for. And now you still walk around with the guilt and condemnation of that error because you never said, I'm sorry. Boy, this is medicine, y'all. You still walking around under because you have not repented and asked God to forgive you. So he said there's some unforgiveness that we ain't dealt with, but then there's some unrepentance, but then he says there's some unresolved stuff. There's some stuff we still ain't resolved yet. It still live because I ain't put a closure to it. Some stuff you're going to have to call dead. Bury it. And we won't have no necrophilia, no romancing with the dead. You know the people that go sleep in the graveyard and kiss on the bodies? Necromancing is what they call it. See, that's people that go live and play with the dead. See, there's some stuff in our life that's dead. And every time you go back and revisit it and hold his hand and call it and talk to it and play with it, it comes back alive again. Now it's got to die again. God said you got to let it die and leave it dead. So we got unforgiveness, we got unrepentance, we got unresolved, but then there's some stuff that has been unspoken. See, there's some stuff we walking around with, we ain't told nobody. See, God said, in order for me to bring the healing that I want to bring, I got to get rid of the 4 that bore you. The 4 that brought you to this place in your life. I got to get rid of these legs that thing is standing on. Because see, and this was the word, the definition that it gave. It was a mental prison that was beheld by the keys of the sin that committed it. See, but the scripture says, for this cause Jesus came, that he may destroy the works of the devil. See, how we get that stuff off of us is we got to get right with God in it. But we got to forgive ourselves. We got to ask forgiveness and release the other person that even done it. I'm not walking around with this no more. I know I was a victim, but I release you from your sin, but I release myself from the prison of the pain. God says, I want to release you today, but I got to get rid of the four that bore you. These was the ones that brought the palsy in. These is the situations that brought the sickness in your life. It was unresolved, it was unrepented, it was unforgiven, and it was unspoken. God said, in order for me to deal with this, I got to deal with that. But once I deal with that, I don't have to worry about the disease. The disease is subject to the word. But what ain't subject is your response to the things in your life. I can deal with the disease. I can't get rid of you. I can deal with it. And remember, he said, this is what releases you from the sickness. Now the sickness is standing there on its own. It can't feed off of you no more. And the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing, even as under the soul and spirit, the joints and marrows. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of the heart. See, the word of God can go in and do a work that only God can do. But you got to give the entrance of the word. You got to give the word entrance by repenting, by forgiving, by resolving this thing, and then by speaking it out. There's some things that we got going on, some things that you done, some things you done seen. God said, if you can voice them out, I can get rid of them. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you can release them, I can release you. What's keeping you bound is you can't get it out you, because you can't forgive yourself of what you've seen, done, or heard. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You've been so kind.